Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Have your Bibles turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13, or you can simply follow along on the screen. Everybody said Revelation. Oh no. No, it's not gonna be like that. Don't be affrighted. It's gonna be all right. I promise you, it ain't nothing you're thinking, so don't even get there. Revelation 22 and 13, the Lord was speaking. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's it. Today, I want to use a familiar phrase for my title, the first day of the rest of your life. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we love you so much. We honor you today in this sanctuary. Thank you for your presence, and we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard and given today. And Lord, we just believe you're going to continue to do great things in your people. Father, help me for a little while to say something to encourage us. And Lord, let it be a blessing and find good ground in our heart. Challenge us, change us, make us ready for that day that you come back to get us. We ask it today in Jesus' name, and everyone would say amen. Would you clap your hands one more time? Give a shout of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Worthy to be praised. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you to our praise team, darling. Good job today. They singing them high notes for a little bit. Thank goodness nobody fell out. I couldn't hold them notes like that. Glad you didn't. Revelation 22 and 13, the Lord. Always clear about who he is. Not I might be, but I am the Alpha and the Omega. There's nobody beside him. We could spend time in Scripture. This is not going to be a oneness message today. We could spend time in that, showing you and proving through his word that he declared of himself, there is no God beside him. He is the beginning, and he is the end, and he is the first, and he is the last. And I was thinking on that, just reading through some Old Testament scripture that brought this to mind, but I want to address the title, The First Day of the Rest of Your Life. I know that you've heard that, probably seen it on a brochure somewhere, or heard it on a podcast or a book title, but it was originally... In the late 60s, it was part of an anti-drug slogan. And then, for those of you who like John Denver, you would remember that he recorded a song, The First Day of the Rest of Your Life. And thinking about how popular that saying is, I want to repeat what the scripture says. There is nothing new under the sun. The guy that coined it in 1969, had no idea maybe that the principle of this had long existed for God's people. And before it ever became a slogan or a song, it was a reality for people. It became a reality for God's people in the Old Testament, but it also became a reality for those in the New Testament who would meet God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the beginning, and he is the end. He is the beginning. The beginning of a new life is in him. There is no life outside of him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. But it is also, when you meet him, it's where the end of a life of sin and shame, separation from him, that's where that comes into play. He is the beginning, and he is the end. He is the first, and he is the last. The first day of true freedom comes when you meet him. The last day of bondage and sin and shame also come with that package. It's a new life. I can remember hearing about him. I can remember reading about him. I can have remember people talking to me about him. But there's nothing that changes how good it was the day I met him. The day when I heard his voice for myself. That was the first day that I knew what it was like to have a God who loved me. And if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. It was the last day of my bondage. And I've told people this before. This is my testimony, and I'm so thankful for it. But before that day, before January the 13th, 1993, I was in bondage to a lot of things. But I can tell you that on January the 14th, those things didn't exist in my life anymore. I used to drink every day. I didn't take another drop after January the 13th, 1993. I used to smoke dope, but I didn't smoke another thing after January the 13th, 1993. A lot of things that had me enslaved for a long time were gone that night I went down in his name. When I went, was buried in that water in his name, friend, I came up. I was a new creature in him. It was the beginning. It was the end. It was the first day of the rest of my life, because I intend on spending the rest of my life following him. He said, take up the cross daily and follow me. And friend, I've tried my best every day to do it, because I have no intentions on not hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant. In Scripture, there are many miracles and healings that Jesus did that would illustrate this principle when he walked this earth. Lepers, those who were lame, deaf or blind, possessed with devils, all found a new beginning and an ending as he entered their lives. Even those who just happened to be there, stood by and witnessed the things that he would do, would make proclamations as, we have never seen or heard anything like this before. In John chapter 9, in verse number 1, I think this is one of my favorite healing miracles that is in the Scripture, just because of the statements that are made throughout it. But in John 9 and 1, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He was blind his entire life. He was blind in the womb. He was blind when he was born. He never knew anything but darkness. This man grew and lived and was conformed to the situation that he was born into. His life was now shaped around the fact that he was blind. He would have to be carried as a child or placed somewhere where he could not hurt himself. When he was taught to walk, he had to be led about by the hand and had to learn how to feel around. He had to figure out how to dress himself blind, or how to wash himself blind, and how to eat his food blind. And no doubt, as they did with many blind people in that day, they may have took him out to the roadside somewhere and sat him down so that he could earn something to help take care of him, because he was blind. He was blind from his birth. He was conformed to the condition of his birth. And Jesus saw him, a man who was blind from his birth. Friend, I don't care how long you've been going through whatever it is you're going through. He sees that. He didn't just say he saw a blind man, but he said, I see him and I know how long he's been in this condition. I know how long that he has wished. Maybe he's even to the point now that he knows there are no doctors, there are no miracles, nothing's going to happen for me. I'm just going to be blind the rest of my life. He realized that this was it. Maybe he gave up hope of being married or having a family, because who wants to just lead me around or take care of me? So I will just be a burden in my parents' household. I'll try to beg and get what I can, but this is simply going to be my life. This is all there is to it. And so many people are like that today. I've been going through what I've been going through. I've been hooked on what I've been hooked on. I've been struggling with what I've been struggling with for so long that I just know it will be with me for the rest of my life. Then let me tell you something. You have not yet fully met Jesus. Come on, somebody. Because he knows how long you've been going through it, and he knows what a hold it has in your life, and he knows how permanent it seems to you. But let me tell you that today could be the first day of the rest of your life. This could be the last day you ever have to deal with it. This could be the end of something that's been troubling you, because Jesus is not only the beginning, but he is the ending. He's not just going to start you off in something and leave you trapped in something. He's not going to have you double-minded trying to figure out, can I praise him today and then be in the gutter the next day? Friend, he will make it new. He will change your life. He'll give you what you're looking for. That hole that's in your heart, he'll fill it. Come on. He told one woman, he said, come on, keep drinking this water of the world and you'll always come back. But take the living water that I offer you and you will never thirst for those things again. If you really want to be set free, what you need to do is get the Word of God. I'm talking about the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us in your life. Because his word is truth, and if the truth make you free, come on, somebody. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we know that he is the truth, and if the Son make you free, you're free indeed. You're not partway free. Jesus was real good to me, but this thing still got me. Friend, it's time for that stuff to end. He is a deliverer. He delivers to the utmost. Come on, somebody. He does a complete job. You are complete in him, completely healed, completely delivered, completely set free by the blood of Jesus. He's the first and he's the last. He's the first one that could do what nobody else could do, and he's the last one we ever need. What he did at Calvary is enough for anybody and for any situation. What happened when he hung on that cross, when he sacrificed himself, friend, it is enough. I tell you, it's enough. I don't care how bad they've been, it's enough. I don't care how blind they've been, it's enough. Because when he steps into your world and decides it's time for that to end, friend, you'll realize he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is all that I've been looking for. His first day when he met Jesus, it was his first day of sight, and it was his last day of darkness. That was all because of Jesus. When he met Jesus, his beginning to walk by himself started, and the end of being led about by the hand was now in play. He had met the beginning and the end. He had met the first and the last. And when people questioned really what happened to you, finally, they discounted the man who had performed the miracle. Finally, he just had to tell them, whether this man is a sinner or not, I have no idea. I simply met him today. Isn't that wonderful? That on your first encounter with him, you can be set free completely. Well, after I go through the Bible, after I spend weeks with a chart, and I'm not against Bible, I love Bible studies, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you that whenever you are motivated for a miracle, whenever you're tired of the garbage in your life, whenever you're tired of the circumstances, whenever you are ready to say, I'm needing something else, I'm telling you, right then and there, Jesus can change you. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can set you free. It doesn't take a year. Well, after I've sat around the church for about a year, then I'll probably come on up there and start getting prayer. Well, then you're going to be waiting a year for your miracle. But if you are really hungry for it, you can stand up and say, that's what I want today. I want to meet the first and the last today. I want to meet the Alpha and Omega today. I want to meet the beginning and the ending today, because I don't want to live another moment without this feeling I'm feeling. I remember praying that night in the altar. And if you've ever just felt that power of God where it was moving around inside of you and shaking every part of your being, when you as a creation feel the touch of the Creator, I remember praying amongst all the shouting. There was about, I don't know how many people had their hands on my head praying that night. And so I had to try to tune them out. And finally I said, God, whatever this is, I don't want to ever lose it. I don't want to be back in 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. Whatever it takes to keep this, that's what I want. I want this forever. And I've always told people that he answered the first prayer I ever prayed, gave me the first thing I ever asked for, because I've had bad days. I've had days where I've been discouraged. I've just like you, I'm human. I've been sad. I've been up. I've been down, all the emotions, all ranges of it. But I have never, not one time, had anything come against me that said, hey, I think I'll just quit walking with him. I think I'll just give up on the one who loved me more than anybody. I think I'll just quit the one who changed everything in my life. Friend, nothing has ever come close to making me want to walk away from God. Nothing has ever looked alluring again that it said, hey, turn around and go back to it. Just go hit it one more time. Nothing. Because when he sets you free, that's the last time you have to deal with it. You think about the man that was in the tombs running around with a legion of devils inside of him, cutting himself, wailing and crying, and nobody could help him. But when he saw Jesus, he ran and fell down and worshiped. And when Jesus got done, it said he, at that point, he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Just met him. He just met him. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's probably hard because Jesus had to go through all my... Friend, let me tell you, it just simply takes a word from him and it's done. There was a woman of Samaria in John chapter 4. I think somebody referenced John 4 today. Brother Shannon did. But this woman in Samaria, Jesus is sitting on the well as she comes in the middle of the day to draw water. And immediately when he starts speaking to her, she tries to figure a way around this. What's going on? Why are you a Jew talking to me? I'm from Samaria, and you don't have, Jews don't have dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus went ahead and destroyed all of that and said, we're not here to talk about where you're from or what color your skin is or what language you talk. He said, I'm here for you because of the condition of your life. You have had five husbands, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband, and that's the truth. But he still offered her living water. She had never met him, but he knew all about her. And she met the first and the last. I've said this many times, she had five husbands plus one, that's six, but then she met the seventh man. He was the last man she'd ever need to meet because he was able to offer her that living water. And she, what's so interesting about this story, because everyone will, when this story is preached, you know, that she came to the well at the sixth hour, which is high noon. So it's the hottest part of the day. And nobody comes to draw water in the hot part of the day. And they said, you know, she was coming because she was ashamed. She was coming because she didn't want to see the stares or the fingers pointing at her, or hear the whispers about how bad she had been or about her life, or even the lies that were maybe being told and made up about her just because of who she was. So she came at noon when nobody else would be there. And there's Jesus sitting on the well. But what's amazing is that after her conversation with him and after he tells her the things that he tells her, she gets a revelation. This is the Christ. He's told me everything I ever did. But it says in John 4 and 28 that she left her water pot. The whole reason she came in the middle of the day was to draw water so that she'd have water. She did it at that time so she wouldn't be seen. But she left her water pot. Well, you'll have to go back. Yeah, I will. But I ain't ashamed no more. I go back and get water with the best of them. I'll pick it up later. I'll go when it's crowded. I don't care anymore. I'm not worried about trying to sneak and hide in shame because I met the first and I met the last. This is the first day of the rest of my life. Things are about to change. Maybe she went home and kicked that guy out. I don't know what she did after that. She said, that's it. I don't need another man. I met the last man I'll ever need. I met the Christ, the Son of the living God. I've met him, and he offered me living water. And so I don't have to be ashamed anymore. I could come anytime now. She had a new beginning and an end of old habits. It was the first day of the rest of her life. And that was when she first met him. There was one woman in the scripture that they brought to Jesus. She was caught, it said, in the very act of adultery. And, of course, they were really chiding on her, and they wanted to trick Jesus. She was really nothing. They probably had seen her doing this many times. Maybe even some of them had been with her. But today they needed to trick Jesus. So they dragged this woman and throw him down and said, listen, Moses and the law said we need to stone her, but what do you say? And I know they thought they had him between a rock and a hard place. I mean, really, come on. Thou shalt not commit adultery is etched in stone by him. But this was the chief cornerstone that day to begin to talk. And he said, I tell you what, you without sin cast the first stone. And it says one by one they dropped their rocks and they began to go out. And this woman, she heard words that she thought she would never hear before, that she knew, just knew, this is the end of my life. But Jesus is the beginning and the end. And there he was. Maybe she thought, this is my last chance, but he is the first and he is the last. And this man that had such mild words, that mercy that spoke out of his face, she looks at him and he looks at her and says, hey, where are your accusers? And does nobody condemn you? And she said, no, man, I don't condemn you either. Go thy way and sin no more. It was a new day for her. It was a chance to get it right. It was a beginning and an ending for her. Things ended. I hope that she took his advice. I hope that one day when we get to heaven, we'll meet this woman and say, oh, by the way, I'm that woman they caught, but I'm also the woman he set free. Come on, somebody. It was the first and the last for stones. Friend, let me tell you, I'm glad today that he is the first and the last. I'm glad he's the God of first times and last chances. Sometimes it's the first time. If this happens, it'll be the first time it ever happened. Well, let's talk about Red Seas opening up. First time for everything, ain't they? Let's talk about blinded eyes being opened. The blind man said, has it ever been told? It had never been told, because that miracle was reserved for Jesus alone, so that it would testify that their God had come to save them. Read it in Isaiah 35. That would be one of the signs of God manifest in the flesh. And so it had never happened before. He's the God of first times. And oh, I can't hold on. I feel like I'm on my last chance. Well, he's the God of last chances. He is the first and he is the last. Aren't you thankful for him today? I'm thankful for him today. This could be the first day of the rest of your life. You could pick up that cross and begin to follow him daily. And does that mean that you won't ever have sad times? Absolutely not. Does it mean that you won't trip or maybe even fall? Absolutely not. But friend, you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You've got a hand that'll reach down and help you up. You've got mercy that'll speak past your circumstances. He doesn't throw you away when you make mistakes. But he's given us grace and mercy, repentance, friend. Come on. He's plentiful in mercy. His mercy is new every morning. It's because of his mercy that we're not consumed. Friend, I can just go on and on and on. God's not trying to kill us. He's trying to save us. For it's not the Lord's will that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. He simply wants to do what nobody else can do if we would let him. I'm watching the time of another favorite story, scripture is Luke chapter 7. The sinner woman with the alabaster box. Verse 36, it says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Well, all have sinned and come short of the glory. But when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She came prepared for a change. But it says that, and she stood at his feet behind him. I remember reading that one day, and that really stuck out, that she stood behind him weeping. Maybe she was trying to sneak in. Maybe she didn't. She just couldn't bear to look him in the face, and so she came behind him. But I think there's another reason for that. I'm going to share it, but just for our benefit. But she began to wash his feet with tears, and she did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. She was behind him. As this goes on, the course, the man who invited Jesus to dinner, he's very upset over this because they don't want her there. And if this man really was a prophet, if he really was, if all this fanfare about him was true, then he would know what kind of woman this is, and he's allowing her to actually touch him. Well, Jesus begins to question him and ask him about some things, and he's in a very gentle way rebuking this guy and correcting this guy and letting him know that, you know, what she's doing is because she realizes how much I love her. But there's a place in this story in verse 44 where things change. Remember, she came in behind him. She came in behind to crying and weeping at his feet. And in verse 44, it says, and he turned to the woman. And now his back was to Simon. He turned his face to this woman who tried to sneak in or come in behind him. And it made me think of Isaiah 38 and 17. For peace I had great bitterness, but you have in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. While she was a sinner, she came in behind him, because that's where sin goes. But when she poured out that alabaster box and she wept on his feet and kissed his feet and washed his feet and her faith in him, because she knew he was the only answer she had, something changed, because God does not hear the prayer of sinners, but if anyone be a worshiper. And in this way, this woman was worshiping him and pouring her love out on him. And so he turned to face her. And now Simon finds himself in the place where she was, behind his back. She didn't have to worry about being behind him anymore, because that's where her sins went. Because he began to tell her, or tell Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I entered in your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. And my head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. So I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And now they're face to face. She's looking in the face of mercy. There are many that are forgiven, but for she loved me much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? This is the Lamb of God. That's who he is. It's who he was, it's who he is, and it's who he has always been. He was that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And I want you to know today that your location can change in a moment. You don't have to try to sneak up on him anymore. You don't have to try to sneak into forgiveness or sneak into a blessing. All you've got to do is come in ready for a change, ready to be forgiven, ready to have your life sorted out, ready for him to do a work in you. And you can come and meet the first and the last, and you can meet this God that loves you so much, and he can turn your situation around. He wasn't going to talk to her and not look at her, but he told her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the Lamb of God. It's who he was, who he is, and who he has always been. And I saved this scripture for last, and I'm not very far from ending, so if they want to get ready for music. It's funny how your mind will go from place to place, but when I think about him being the Lamb of God, I go back to Israel. They wind up in Egypt because of a famine. Just 70 souls, I believe, when they first get there. But, of course, they multiply. And the years go by. And Joseph has sustained his family. But another Pharaoh, Joseph dies, and then Pharaoh dies, and another Pharaoh comes up that he don't know Joseph. And he don't like the prosperity of Israel. He don't like the way they're growing. And he fears Israel, really. So he begins to make life hard for Israel. And they become slaves in the land of Egypt. They passed laws to kill all the male children of Israel. They're trying to stop them from growing, but the more they try to stop them, the more they just keep growing, because this is God's people and you can't stop that. And we know the story of Israel in Egypt. He sends Moses back with Aaron, go tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. And so he does that, and Pharaoh says he will, and then he won't. And over and over again, plague after plague, miracle after miracle, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he will not let those people go. But it finally comes down to the end where God says, I'm going to send death through the land, but I'm going to make sure my people are taken care of. But in Exodus 12, the first couple of verses, it says, the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and he said this, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I don't know how they were keeping time prior to that. Whatever they were doing in times past, that's over. This will be the beginning of months, and it will be the first month of the year to you. Why? When you continue to read, he tells Moses what he's going to do, and he says, you're going to go pick you out a spotless lamb, and you're going to sacrifice it. You're going to kill it, and you're going to take the blood of that lamb, and you're going to put it on the lintel and the doorpost, and you're going to roast this lamb. You're going to eat every bit of it, and don't break a bone of it. He had a lot of things to say with it. He said, because tonight I will pass over. And when I pass over, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, but all the firstborn of Egypt's going to die. And so he said, the month that the lamb gets involved, the month where you're delivered, you know how long they were in slavery? 430 years. If you were looking in verse 40 through 42, it said, they dwelt in Egypt 430 years. But at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, that day, it came to pass, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And it's a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. 430 years. They had been generations that had died while they were in Egypt. They had buried many of their loved ones while they were in Egypt, but they continued to grow and to grow because God was blessing his people. But eventually it got hard and they cried, and God said, I have heard the cry of my people. And so he said, this is what we're going to do to get you out. We're going to use a lamb. Egypt probably had the greatest army in that time. Chariots, we know they had an army full of chariots. God took care of that too in the middle of the Red Sea. But he said, we're going to take a lamb and we're going to fix this. Everything else we've done has brought us to this point. It's going to take a lamb. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. This will be the first time anything like this has ever happened. It'll be the last time that you're going to see your enemy. This will be the beginning of months for you, and this month will be the first month of the year for you. It will be the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It was the end of however they'd kept time before. It was the last time they'd ever keep time like that again. Now everything would be new. It would be the first day of the rest of their lives, because he told Israel, you'll keep this throughout all your generations. It'll be an ordinance for you and your sons forever, this Passover. It was the first day of the rest of their life. 430 years of slavery in one night because of a lamb that was slain and covered them, the blood that covered them. Friend, that's us. The Passover, the spotless lamb, the blood and the body. God He prepared a body to be a lamb for us. He died for us. He gave us his body and his blood. He said, eat, take this bread and eat. It's my body. It's broken for many. Drink this blood. It is the new covenant. And he is the first fruit from the dead because he resurrected. And the Romans 6 and 9 says he dies no more. He won't ever have to die again. Beginning, ending, first, last. All this because of this Lamb of God who says, I make all things new. You can stand with me this morning. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if anybody knows the power of this scripture, it would be Paul who wrote it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, Paul in one day went from wreaking havoc and persecuting the church to preaching the gospel he once fought against. In an instance, he said, if any man, and I was the worst of them, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, when you're in Christ, when you go down in baptism in his name and you're filled with the Spirit, you become a new creature. It's the first day of the rest of your life. Because I don't care what you do after that, you'll never forget. I know people that have walked away, but they never forget. You'll never forget that touch of the Master. You'll never forget what God did for you. You'll never forget the love and mercy that you felt from him. You might run from it, turn from it, but you'll never forget what it's like to have him fill you with his Spirit. You'll never forget what it felt like to come out of that water and knowing that all that past was now gone, that he had made all things new. You'll never forget that. And today, this could be the first day of the rest of your life. It could be your first day with him. It could be your first day washed from sin. It could be your first day of being filled with the Holy Ghost. It could be your first day of real freedom. Praise God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It could be your last day of fear. It could be your last day of shame or doubt, confusion, of struggling. Today could be the last day of those things, but it could be the first day of the rest of your life. And so while they're singing this morning, I just open the altars up for you today. Would you like to come and pray? Would you like to come and talk to him today, the first and the last? Would you like him to make you new today?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.